Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. If you're applying to medical school in 2022 to start medical school in 2023, join me Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern or Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern at premedworkshop.com. Go register today. I'm going to show you how to tell your story in your application. Again, that's premedworkshop.com. If you are applying to medical school in 2022, be there or be square. The Medical School HQ Podcast, session number 120. Hello and welcome to the Medical School Headquarters Podcast, where we believe that collaboration, yes, collaboration, not competition, is key to your pre-med success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help you on your path to becoming a physician. I repeated that word collaboration for a reason. And after you hear the conversation that I have with Ben, you will understand why. But before we jump into that interview, if you're struggling with the MCAT, like pretty much everybody does, go to freemcatgift.com and download our 30-plus page report to help you as you prepare to tackle the beast, which is the MCAT. So I want to introduce Ben. Ben is a pre-med student who emailed us out of the blue one day and said, hey, here's my story. I may be an interesting guest. And we get quite a few of these, and Ben's stuck out for a reason, and you'll find out why. But he's a non-traditional pre-med student who now has an acceptance to medical school, and he's got an amazing journey to share, and I hope you get a ton of great information out of it. You can go continue the conversation at medicalschoolhq.net/120 if you want to say hello to Ben or leave us any questions or comments you want on that page when you go to it. So Ben, you emailed Allison and myself through our contact page. And if you're listening and you want to contact us, go to medicalschoolhq.net/contact and you can do the same. But you emailed us, and it's interesting. In your email, you talked about this unorthodox path to medicine. And we can get into the nitty-gritty of it. But basically, you're a non-traditional student, and reading about your path, you're not very unlike a lot of students listening right now, and the fact that they are non-traditional. There are a lot of non-traditional students out there like yourself. Why do you think you were unorthodox?
The reason being is that I really never thought of myself as going into medicine or potentially being a physician, you know, from high school or even in college. You know, I probably didn't realize that it's what I wanted to do until I was probably 23, and I just graduated from undergrad. And one of the reasons why I wrote into you guys was because I really had no idea at that time what to do. I didn't know any medical students. I didn't know anything about the path. So being a non-traditional and not knowing any other non-traditionals, it seemed like kind of a crazy notion at the time to pursue something like that.
What
what was your first step in determining what to do?
Well, first I looked up, you know, what were the classes I needed to take and if I had any already taken, which unfortunately I did not. I, of course, was starting from scratch, really. I had my degree, but I didn't take any of the classes that I needed, the sciences. Then I looked up what I needed to do and then, you know, what was the closest school to me and which made the most sense. So I decided to go to a public school, which would save on the expenses a little bit compared to my private undergrad. And then I also happened to pick a school that had a medical school attached to it. So I thought that seemed like the best bet. And I enrolled in classes and away I went.
So let's go back a little bit and talk about your path into college. You had talked about not really knowing you wanted to be a physician until after you graduated or as you were graduating. What did you go to college to do? What was your grand scheme at that point?
Being a 19-year-old freshman, I did not have a grand scheme at all. I had no idea what I wanted to do. You know, I picked communication as a major kind of on a whim. I really wasn't highly motivated to do well in classes. You know, I did okay, but my focus was on just graduating and then worrying about everything else later. So I would say for the first couple of years there, as an undergrad, I didn't really have much of a direction. I was just kind of, you know, I think what a lot of kids fall into, they're just kind of in college because that's the next step, you know, along the way.
Just because that's what everyone does. So that's what you did.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was your first foray into medicine or the sciences or anything like that?
Well, I was kind of, you know, I was struggling here and there in some classes. I was getting, you know, B minus, C plus kind of grades, just going along.
The perfect pre-med, right?
Yeah, perfect. And then I took a biology class, which was an entry-level kind of survey class, and I really liked it. And it was the first class I actually liked in college and the first class I did really well in. And one of the subjects I was particularly drawn to were the medical subjects in the class, like cancer and some of the more human biological type subjects in the class. I really liked that. So after doing well, I was talking to the professor and I asked him if he could sign me into an upper level course that he was teaching. And he obliged and signed me into a class on human disease. I had no prereqs for it. I probably had no business being in the class, but I loved it and did really well in that class too. And then that's kind of what started, you know, got me thinking, maybe I could do this. Maybe this is something I should pursue. And then later on that year, I actually dislocated my finger. And when I was seeing a doctor for it, you know, I mentioned, you know, my emerging interest in medicine to him. And he was great. And he said, hey, if I can do anything for you, if you want to shadow me anytime, let me know. So it kind of started with that, and I started shadowing him and shadowing as much as I could.
So you're in biology class, and you're liking these subjects that it's talking about. What made you think about medicine? What about nursing or being a biology teacher or all these other things that taking a biology course could lead to? What, there had to be something else there that led you to medicine.
Well, as I'm taking these classes, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, maybe I should think about a career at this point, something after college, something that I could actually do. And then, you know, I was always an athlete growing up and I was injured all the time. So I was pretty familiar with, you know, the orthopedic side of things as I was always seeing those types of doctors. And it was, I thought back to it and it was pretty intriguing, that surgery aspect and healing injuries and all that kind of stuff. I never thought about being a teacher. I was never passionate about that. And being a nurse really never entered my mind either. It was just, I don't really know. Is that's really what my mind went to is, you know, what about being a physician? I think this might be pretty interesting. And as I shadowed, you know, I always knew I liked orthopedics and it kind of confirmed that. I really liked it once I actually saw it from the inside.
So no family members or any other exposure to physicians?
No, no physicians, no nurses, no science people in my family at all.
No healthcare. Good. All right. So you are a very normal student at this point that really has no advantages over anybody else on the pre-med path. Right. So So you go, okay, this is cool, biology, I like it, but you didn't immediately make that switch. Why not?
No, it took me a while to pull the trigger. I did well in those two classes, but I was never a 4.0 student. I was never, school never came easy to me. So as I continued on in college, it was really a matter of confidence. You know, I never thought of myself as like this genius student and taking all these tests and being, you know, extremely motivated and studying all the time, which, you know, as a pre-med and as a medical student, you obviously have to be at least, you know, diligent with your studies. And I never saw myself as that. So I really just never had the confidence to pull the trigger to do it. But it was kind of lingered in the back of my mind because medicine was really the only thing that I was passionate about at that point. You know, I was seeing all these other career opportunities that my classmates were looking at and taking, and they seemed to be really interested in it. And they all just seemed just absolutely not interesting to me. I could never see myself doing it. But, you know, I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning on my spring break to go shadow in the operating room, and I loved it. You know, I was never looking at the clock, you know, never looking to go home. At that point, I didn't see myself as capable, or I didn't have the confidence in myself to actually go forward and pull the trigger on it.
So I want to take a break here and talk about your shadowing experience. So I'm sure that somebody's listening to this right now and thinking, there's this guy, Ben, who really wasn't pre-med, wasn't totally committed to it, yet somehow he found this ability to shadow in the operating room of all places and get that experience. How did you go about it to be able to get into the operating room to pass all of the barriers of entry?
I think I probably got pretty fortunate with the physician that I was seeing. I was seeing him as a patient, and after the exam was over, he asked me if I had any questions, and I kind of told him I was interested in medicine and I would, you know, but I didn't have any experience, but I was, you know, curious about a couple things. And I asked him a couple questions about, you know, the path to get there. And he pretty much opened the door for me and said I could shadow him if I wanted to. So I would say, you know, if just ask, you know, I just asked the right guy and he said, no problem, come on in. And we exchanged emails and I shadowed him off and on for probably 4 years.
Wow. That's awesome. And I'm sure he wrote an amazing letter of recommendation for you at that point too.
Yeah, he was definitely on top of my list to write my letters when the time came.
What was the biggest thing that you think you did right when you were shadowing him?
Well, I would probably say I tried to just be a sponge and absorb everything that I could. One of the cool things about him was he would kind of teach me along the way. So I wasn't just sitting there watching, not saying anything. We would go through scans, you know, he would talk through exactly what he was doing and I asked questions. I would say that's probably the best advice I could give would be, regardless of what specialty you're seeing, just ask as many questions as you can. Ask questions on your way out, as soon as you get there, what they're doing, why they're doing it, and just try to absorb as much as you can.
Awesome. So you're doing your shadowing, you graduate from college with a BA, right? In communications, I think?
Yeah.
So nowhere near, and it's really not nowhere near, because you can get into medical school with any degree, but you hadn't taken any of the prereqs at that point besides this biology course.
Yeah.
You decided at that point to kind of still push off medicine, even though you were still... It was your passion, as you said earlier, and you were still fueling this passion by shadowing. Yeah. Again, why did you decide to not make that leap?
At that point, it was a mix of financial and the confidence issues once again. I just graduated from a private school. You know, I couldn't afford to stay at that private school another 2 years. So once I graduated, I kind of told myself, you know, I'll get out there, I'll get a job with my communication degree and I'll make a little bit of money and then I'll go back and take my classes. Unfortunately, I was out of work for quite a while after I graduated. But all the while I stayed, I was interning actually at a large medical center and pretty much being an errand boy for no money and staying with a buddy of mine a couple days a week to do that. And then I eventually took a job, a sales job, where I could make a little bit of money. And after working at that job for one day, it was pretty clear to me, yeah, I'm definitely going back. Looked at the calendar. Okay, 5 months is when classes start. I'm out in 5 months. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So you graduate, as I'm sure many students at this point are graduating and not finding jobs and going, oh, Lord. You start this job and you just want to get the heck out of there. Again, you really didn't have that backbone, the resources of having everything laid out for you. Mm-hmm. How were you going and getting this information?
Well, I looked around at a couple universities as options, and just the one that made sense, I looked up online. I saw they had an advisor for, I think they had a pre-medical advisor was her title. And I just emailed her and asked her a couple questions. You know, I want to go into medicine and apply to medical school. I don't have any of the prereqs, but I want to go to your school, you know, not necessarily to get a degree, but just to take these classes. And, you know, what should I do? And she was great in directing me through the whole process. And a year into my post-bac, they actually formally created a post-bac degree, so which they didn't even have when I started. I was just going to take the classes and go from there.
So you reached out and talked to a pre-med advisor, and that's I can't stress how important that is to just reach out and talk to somebody. One of the most frequent pieces of advice that I give to students that email me or to members of the academy is just pick up the phone or send an email and ask a question and get the answer straight from the horse's mouth, as the saying goes. And don't really beat around the bush or ask all of these other people that really don't know. Go ask the people that are in those positions to make the decisions and get the answers. So that's what you did. And it sounds like, so you were doing a kind of a do-it-yourself post-bac because they didn't really, it wasn't a formal post-bac, and you chose that because of location and cost and everything, right?
Yeah, location, cost, and that school just happened to have a medical school, so I figured I would certainly be taking the right classes and be on the right path if I went there.
So that was a great decision, amazing decision. So you had talked about confidence issues earlier and this thought that you really weren't a good student and you weren't going to be able to handle the course load or any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. How was it going back into a post-bac program? Because I think that's a big fear for a lot of people is, okay, I've been out of college now. Obviously, you weren't out for too long, but you were still out. You weren't a student anymore, living a normal, quote-unquote, normal life. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you're jumping back into college life, taking classes. What was that like, and how did you get the confidence to do well?
I'm not going to lie. It was pretty tough, especially early on. You know, I remember the first class I ever went into. It was an 8 a.m. class, chemistry. I have never taken a chemistry class in my life. And the teacher says to all, you know, 300 of us in there, if you've never taken a chemistry class in high school, or, you know, any time prior, this is not the class for you. I remember that vividly and thinking, whoa, this is going to have to be the class for me because I have 2 years to do this, you know, so this is what I'm doing. But it was tough. You know, confidence kind of came with getting thrown into the fire there and taking these classes. And it was, you know, it didn't come easy. You know, I definitely struggled early on after the first year. I really didn't do much better there than I did in my undergrad, and I was working my butt off. It was definitely not for lack of effort.
And much better than your undergrad, we're talking below a 3.0.
Right, and I was doing right on par with that still, and that was very difficult, you know, especially going into that second year with the more advanced classes.
What or who did you lean on for support at that point? And what advice would you have for somebody that jumps into that situation and doesn't do well either?
Well, at that point, you know, I definitely had that self-doubt creep back in, and I had to ask myself, you know, is this for you? Are you smart enough to handle this? But I told myself, if you decided to do this, so see it through. You're either going to, you know, let everything fall where they may. But I just never wanted to say, you know, what if, you know, I just wanted to finish it out. So I ended up doing a lot better the second year because of some friends that I made along the way in those classes. And they were actually all non-traditionals just like me. And so we kind of helped each other through these things and studied together. And I didn't work any harder. I just kind of, I guess, worked smarter and worked with a group of people who all kind of shared the same goals. And that helped tremendously.
Wait a minute. So you're saying collaboration with your enemies is what worked and not competition. I think I've heard that saying before.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, the first year I definitely saw everybody as competition. But once I got to know a couple of my classmates, and there's probably three of us, and we're all a little older and trying to go back into medicine. And these guys, two smartest guys I know, and they were doing great. And once we all started working together, you know, in labs, and, you know, we took organic chemistry together over the summer, and it worked great. I think we all helped each other.
So you strategically surrounded yourself with great students who were doing well, and it picked you up. And that just, it reminds me of a quote by an author, I think he is, Jim Rohn, who says, you are the average of the five people that you surround yourself with. And so you surrounded yourself with awesome people, and it made you awesome as well.
Yeah. I think it's probably pretty telling. I think we all competed with each other in class, you know, who could get the best grade on a test, and we were pretty competitive guys. And I think the first test in organic chemistry, I think I got like a 92, and I was the lowest out of the three of us, and I was not very happy about it. So if that tells you anything.
That's awesome. A 92 compared to what you were getting is amazing, and that's awesome. And it just reiterates, I say it at the beginning of every podcast episode, it's collaboration, not competition in this journey. And do you know the status of these two guys? Did they get into medical school?
Yeah, they're both accepted to medical school for next year.
Awesome. So working together not only helped you, I'm sure it helped them, and all three of you have seats to medical school.
Yep.
Amazing. Just let that sink in for you. Yep. Listening, it's, you don't have to knock down that person sitting next to you. You're in it together. There are plenty of seats, and it's weird to say, but there are plenty of medical school seats for those that deserve it. And deserve it mean you have a good MCAT score. It doesn't have to be amazing. You have a good MCAT score and you have good grades. You don't have to be a perfect applicant, but there are, when you look at the totals, number of students applying, there's students applying with scores that they just shouldn't be applying to medical school, and they skew the numbers. So that's awesome. So you surrounded yourself with awesome people. You started getting I'm sure a lot more encouragement and motivation to continue doing well. What was the setup as a non-traditional in this kind of pseudo post-bac? How did you study for the MCAT? Did you use that same philosophy and study with these guys?
Yeah, we all studied together. The school I went to fortunately had a MCAT prep program that they set up that was pretty inexpensive compared to some others. So it was me and these guys I was working with, but we were probably in a class of around 12 people. And we met with one of our instructors. They were all medical students at the university, second years. So that helped a lot. And we kind of picked their brains. And we would meet twice a week in the evenings for, I think, 3 or 4 hours at a time. So that plus studying on my own, we got, you know, just this service that has, you know, all these books over various subjects. And we just kind of went at it and took practice tests and studied as much as we could.
Awesome. What was the, looking back as you're kind of on the tail end of the application cycle now, what was the hardest thing during the application cycle that maybe just snuck up on you or you kind of underestimated?
Probably the time it would take to do everything. Filling out the application itself can be time consuming, but then you also have to figure out, okay, what schools do I want to apply to? And, you know, where can I realistically get in? How many schools do I want to apply to? Do I want to apply MD or DO? And then once you get that figured out, you think you're good, but then you get all these, you know, depending on how many schools you apply to, then you get all these secondaries, and writing all these secondary applications can weigh on you, because they all seem to come in, they kind of come in waves. So I was just a professional essay writer there for probably about a month or two.
Yeah, don't worry, you'll turn into a professional test taker soon enough.
Yeah.
All right. So just a lot of overwhelm with how much stuff there is.
Oh yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest things that students underestimate is the application opens up next week. I'll start it when it opens, and I'll be done in a couple days, or I'll be done in a day. I'll dedicate an afternoon to it.
Oh, it's there's so much that goes into it, from references to, you know, letters of rec, and, you know, you really have to do your research on the schools you apply to, because you may think you have all the prereqs, but this one particular school wants a certain prereq that you don't have. So then you're just kind of wasting your money applying there. So yep. There's a lot that goes into it.
But remember, and just to throw it out there, you can apply to a school without having all of their prereqs, mm-hmm. as long as you get it done before matriculation. So that's a caveat there that a lot of students may not think about.
Yeah.
Awesome. So at this point, you apply, and you apply to a lot of schools.
Mm-hmm.
Why so many schools? How many did you apply to, and why did you apply to so many?
I applied to right around 30 schools, which on both MD and DO, which is a ton. And the reason I applied to so many is, you know, maybe it goes back to that lack of confidence I've always kind of had with this whole situation. I wanted to maximize my chances to get an acceptance. You know, all these medical schools, of course, look at your grades, and they all look at these things, but they all have different criteria on who they accept. So, you know, I wasn't exactly sure where I would get in. I definitely didn't think I was a lock anywhere. So I just tried to kind of cast a wide net and see what would happen.
What, after you applied and you're on the interview trail, what do you think was your strongest asset being a non-traditional student on the interview trail?
I'd probably say my life experience. You know, I wasn't a non-traditional in the sense that I had been, you know, out with a family and kids for 10 or 15 years, but I did have some life experience from the jobs that I had had, and my shadowing and my interning and all these different medical centers and hospitals. So I'd probably say my ability to convey that to my interviewers. And, you know, if you can tell your story and make yourself more than just a GPA and an MCAT, then I think you're in pretty good shape.
That's great advice. And I think that's, again, one of these things that the students underestimate is their uniqueness. Everybody or most students are still very traditional students. They go to high school, they go to college, they go to medical school, and somewhere in there they're doing shadowing and they're doing volunteering, and just because you do that doesn't mean you're not unique. There's a saying that I can give you a bunch of ingredients for a recipe and not give you a recipe and give all of those same ingredients to 10 people and get 10 different dishes. So right. just because all the ingredients are the same in all of these students, it doesn't mean they're coming out looking the same. Mm-hmm. And it's just something important to think about. And so that's great advice. So you're sitting here now with an acceptance to medical school after everything that you've been through. What does that feel like?
It feels great. When I first got that acceptance, I really wasn't sure. The first time I knew, it really wasn't even a hard copy letter. It was this just portal on the internet, and it was like, you know, accepted applicant, and, you know, it wasn't anything official at that point, but I was pretty sure I was in. but I was elated, especially once I finally got that hard copy in the mail. You know, all that hard work you put in, it, you know, it really does pay off. And from coming from a point where I certainly, you know, there was a part of me who really didn't think I was going to even get accepted, and to actually get that approval was pretty amazing.
Awesome. What are your plans between now and actually matriculating into medical school?
Not a whole lot, really. You know, it's funny. I look up some things, you know, how to prepare for med school, what should you do? And everything I see is don't do anything.
Yep.
You can't possibly prepare. It's going to all hit you. So not a whole lot. I mean, I'm taking it easy. I am still trying to shadow and get some experience in there just because I enjoy doing it. So other than that, I'm not doing a whole lot.
So my biggest piece of advice for students in this situation is start building healthy habits. Mm-hmm. If you don't work out a lot, start working out and build that into a habit so that when everything kind of hits the fan, you know that you can still rely on your habit and your routine of going to the gym and getting that stress release, or you know that your habit of going to bed at a certain time is still there, or whatever it may be. Start building those healthy habits so that when you start medical school, you have some uniformity in your routines.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Awesome. So what is your number one go-to piece of advice as you have made it out through the other end of this journey, with a long journey still ahead, unfortunately? What is your advice to Sally or Jane or Jessica or whoever's listening right now, and what do you say to them?
I probably say don't panic, because there are going to be things along the way that are going to get you down. They're going to be ups, they're going to be downs. You know, I know there are tests that I studied for and put everything into that I did terrible on. And then there were tests that I studied and put everything into that I did great on. So you just kind of have to ride that wave and just make sure that your work ethic and your dedication is consistent, and it will pan out. But just don't panic. Don't get down on yourself. Just keep your eye on what your ultimate goal is and just keep working towards it.
All right. That, again, was Ben, a non-traditional pre-med student who has made his way through the trials and tribulations of being a pre-med student or not being a pre-med student, and realizing later in his career that he wants to go to medical school and what it took to get into medical school. And part of his original message that he had shared with me through his emails talked about a lot of the discouragement that he received or read about on some of these other websites that you may know, and how he was able to kind of push that aside and surround himself with these other students and collaborate with them and get the motivation and get the encouragement to keep pushing forward, even though not everything would go his way. And he knew that, and he pushed through, as he talked about, and just continued on. And now he has an acceptance to medical school. So he's got an acceptance to a DO school. He's got a wait list at an MD school and another DO school. And so just if you're out there and you're struggling and you're wondering if it's worth it, or you're lacking confidence like Ben was, understand that it takes surrounding yourself with the right people. And you can do that from classmates that you're with. You can do that in places like the academy. You can do that anywhere, but you need to do it. So thank you, Ben, for sharing your story, and I hope you are able to get a lot out of it. You can email us like Ben did. Go to medicalschoolhq.net/contact, and you can shoot us an email there. Come say hi to us on Twitter. I'm at medicalschoolhq. Go leave us a comment on the show notes page for this specific episode, medicalschoolhq.net/120. Will leave us, will take you to the show notes page specifically for this episode. And something I've been doing recently is having these episodes transcribed. So if you want to go read along with what you're listening to in the future, or you want to re-listen to this one, you can go to that page, medicalschoolhq.net/120, and read the transcript as you listen. So hopefully that will help you as much as the audio is as well. So awesome. I hope you got a ton of great information out of this episode today. If you did, go to medicalschoolhq.net/iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Every rating, every review does an amazing thing for us in iTunes. Apple ranks us higher in the iTunes library. I know not everybody listens on iTunes, but that is still the number one place for podcasts. So if you would, go take a minute and do that. And after that, just go join us next time here at the Medical School Headquarters.